Open your Bible now along with me to the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. We are on the church calendar. We are in the second Sunday of Easter, of the Easter season. And of course, last Sunday, Resurrection Day. And today, the lectionary brings us to John chapter 20. And I'm going to begin with verse 24, but first a little background. John tells us that on the evening of the first Easter day, Jesus appeared to his disciples. They were hiding in a room with the door locked for fear of the religious authorities. And Jesus suddenly was with them, and he said, "Peace be with you." And he showed them the wounds in his hands, showed them the wound in his side. He was not a ghost. He was the risen Christ. And Thomas, one of the 12, was not there. So that's where we're going to pick up the text with chapter 24. Hear now the word of God. Or rather, chapter 20 and verse 24. Hear now the word of God. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? O Lord, your word is truth. Open us now and write your word within us, that we might be transformed to be more like Jesus, your living word, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thomas really should have been there. There's a number of shoulds in his story. He really should have been there. A week earlier, on the night of Resurrection Sunday, Jesus had appeared to the disciples. Mary Magdalene had already come and told them the Lord is risen. Suddenly Jesus appeared among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he gave them their mission. He said, "As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is one of the most important moments in human history. If there was ever a moment to show up, this was it. And Thomas wasn't there. He should have been. But Thomas missed it. Verse 24 says, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came." Where was he? What important business does he have that's more important at this moment than being with his brothers? Once again, this is the most important moment in human history. If there's ever a time to show up, this is it. My favorite commentator, Dale Bruner, calls this the most irresponsibly missed church meeting in history. And when Thomas finally did show up, here's another should. When Thomas finally did show up, he should have believed his friends. When Thomas got there, the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." Now think about his relationship with these other men. Thomas has been with them for 3 years. They've served together. They've sacrificed together. They've been with Jesus together. They've taken great risks together. They've been on, for 3 years, they together have been on the greatest adventure in human history. Shouldn't he have trusted them? Shouldn't he have believed what they said? But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, place my finger into the mark of the nails, place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Never? Really? You can't trust these men, Thomas, after 3 years? He should have believed his friends. He should have been there. And when he wasn't there, he should have believed his friends. There's a lot of shoulds in Thomas's story, but I'm not going to be too hard on him, and I don't think you should be either. There's a lot of shoulds in my story, and maybe there's a lot of shoulds in your story too. There are shoulds in every life, and they haunt us. And memories come back, especially in moments of discouragement or moments of anxiety and frustration. Decisions we made or failed to make. Choices we made. Sometimes bad choices. I should have trusted in God. I should have obeyed His word. I should have said yes. I should have said no. I should have believed. I should have risked. I should have been faithful. I should have known better than to do the foolish and sinful things I did. Should. And over the years, they add up, don't they? John tells us that Thomas had a nickname. His nickname was Didymus, the twin. In other words, there's somebody just like him. Maybe it's you. Sometimes it's me. But there's also great hope in his story. And I want to take a close look at what Thomas did, but most of all what Jesus did for Thomas. And it showed this, what Jesus did shows us the way out of captivity to our shoulds. First of all, I want to look at what Thomas did. And he's a model for us in some ways. First of all, for all of his faults, we call him Doubting Thomas. I've never thought that was fair. The Bible doesn't call him that, by the way. First of all, notice about Thomas that he's honest. Give him that. Thomas should have been there, and he should have believed his friends, but he's honest about his doubts. He doesn't give in to peer pressure and believe in something just because other people believe it and have experienced it. He could have tried to fit in by pretending to believe, but he won't do that. And he's honest. And he asked, didn't he ask for what we all really want? He wanted assurance. He wanted to experience the risen Jesus for himself. Dear friends, a secondhand faith will not do, not for Thomas, not for anybody. Other people's experience of Jesus won't do. Other people's experience of Jesus can inspire us and encourage us. Have you ever felt like you were on the outside of faith looking in? Have you ever felt like everybody else was talking about an experience of Jesus that you didn't have? And you may have even been tempted to make up an experience, to say things that perhaps didn't really feel authentic to you. Thomas models for us honesty. And honesty is always best. A pretend faith, a borrowed faith, won't endure when times of challenge, when times of testing come. So Thomas is honest. And second, even in his doubts, here's another way Thomas models something for us. Even in his doubts, notice that Thomas doesn't walk away. He shows up that second Sunday. He's still there. He stays with his believing friends. John says 8 days later, Jesus' disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Now, 8 days later, what does that mean? In Bible times, they counted the present day as the first day. So when it says 8 days later, it means a week later, the following Sunday. Right from the beginning, by the way, ever since that first Easter day, Christian believers have gathered on Sunday. Remember, Saturday is the Jewish Sabbath. But ever since that first Easter day, believers have gathered on Sunday, and Thomas was with them. He didn't give up. He hadn't seen Jesus, but he showed up anyway. Do you have doubts? Keep at it. Be with Christ's people. If you want to have faith, be with people of faith. Because, dear brothers and sisters, we all like to think that we are independent thinkers. We all like to think that I'll stand alone on my convictions, even if I'm the only one. You know what? That's not human nature. You will pick up the beliefs and behaviors of whoever you spend time with. You will pick up the beliefs and behaviors of whatever crowd you run with. So be very careful who it is. And if you want to have faith, be with people of faith. Stay with them. Hang in there. You know, one of the things that we're learning in this time of social distancing and pandemic, one of the things we're being reminded of is that there is no substitute for the physical gathering together of God's people. In worship, in fellowship, in Bible study. This technology is a wonderful gift. I'm really glad that we have it. But one of the things we're learning, there's no substitute for the physical coming together of the people of God. We need it. Thomas stayed with those who had seen Jesus. And dear friends, that's where we meet Jesus. Sure enough, Thomas was with them that next Sunday, and Jesus showed up again, physically present. It says, although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Remember that Jesus had promised earlier, he said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. Jesus keeps that promise. Do you want to meet Jesus? Be with the people of Jesus. And I know, believe me, I know that it's easy to give up on church. It's easy to come to the conclusion that the church is full of faults and it's full of hypocrites. And you know my answer to that. We've always got room for one more. Come right on in. We'll love to have you. It's easy to give up on church and to say, you know what, I'm just going to go out into the woods on Sunday morning. I'm going to go out into the woods. I'm going to drive up into the hills and be in nature, and That's where I'll experience Jesus Christ. God's creation is wonderful, and it can inspire us. But dear friends, if you want to meet Jesus, be with his people. Stay with Christ's imperfect people. That's where Jesus is. Well, Jesus showed up on that second Sunday, and he went straight to Thomas. And he said, verse 27, he said, "Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Put out your hand, Thomas. Put it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Notice, I think it's amazing, Jesus went straight to Thomas, and he knew Thomas's exact need. It was a week earlier, Thomas had said, "Unless I see the wounds, unless I put my finger on the wounds, unless I touch the wound in his side, I will not believe." He didn't know he was praying, but he was. And Jesus was listening, and he went straight to Thomas. And he met Thomas's demands to the letter. "Here I am, Thomas. Here's the wounds. Put out your hand." I love the classic Caravaggio painting of Thomas meeting the risen Christ and Christ taking his hand and putting it on the wound. Now, I have a question. It's another should. Should Jesus be so accommodating to this guy? This is Jesus Christ. This is the Son of God. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus has just offered up his sinless life on the cross for the sins of the world. He has defeated enemy death, and he's risen. He's in a few days going to ascend to the right hand of the Father, where he will reign over all. Should he lower himself to accommodate Thomas, who should have been there and who should have believed the testimony of his friends? Should Jesus lower himself to Thomas's demands? Jesus once told a story about a man who had 100 sheep, and 99 of them were safe in the fold. And one of them, just one, wandered away into the night and got lost. And Jesus said that man would go out and search and keep searching until he found that one lost sheep. And when he found it, he would pick it up and put it on his shoulders and take it home with rejoicing, because he'd found his lost sheep. Should Jesus accommodate Thomas, who wasn't there resurrection night and who didn't believe his friends? The answer of Jesus is obvious. And wasn't that the direction of his whole ministry? That Jesus humbled himself, that he laid aside the glory of heaven, that he took on human flesh, that he came among us to serve undeserving human beings like you and like me, to go to the cross for us, undeserving, to suffer in our place, not because of our deserving, but because of his great love. That he who made us came in Christ to claim us as his own. Here's the great gospel surprise. Jesus honors Thomas's search and his questions. He humbles himself before Thomas to show him the evidence. Dear friends, bring your toughest questions to Jesus. Jesus opens himself to examination. His word, examine it, study it. Examine the evidence that his word is truth. Examine the evidence for the resurrection. If you haven't read it yet, read Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ and The Case for the Resurrection. Jesus offers himself to open examination to anyone who will come. He said to Thomas, "Here I am. Here's the wounds." The truth of Jesus Christ stands up to careful examination. But when you come, be prepared for an answer. Some people use questions and doubts to keep Jesus at arm's length. They aren't really looking for an answer. They're looking for a way to avoid him, a way to shut him out, because they don't like the claim that he places on our lives. When you come, be prepared for an answer. Now, how do I know? Because Jesus promised and he keeps his word. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone," he said, "everyone who asks receives, and whoever seeks finds." That's a promise from Jesus that he has always kept. When you come with your question, be prepared for an answer. Jesus showed himself to Thomas, and then he gave Thomas, notice it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. He showed himself to Thomas, and he said, "Thomas, do not disbelieve, but believe." Jesus calls us to believe in him. He says to you and me, do not disbelieve, but believe. It doesn't mean merely to believe, he doesn't mean merely to believe that he exists, or even merely to believe that he's alive, but believe him. Believe what he says. Believe his invitation that we come to him and find life. Now, you and I are not going to get a physical appearance of Jesus. That was for Thomas and the other apostles. That time is closed. But you and I have the witness of those apostles in the New Testament. We have the inner witness of the Holy Spirit who speaks into our hearts the truth of Christ. And we have the evidence of transformed lives for 2,000 years, lives that have been transformed by trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, when Jesus commanded Thomas, don't disbelieve but believe, Thomas responded with the boldest and highest affirmation of who Jesus is that's found anywhere in the Bible. The words of Thomas, these are the highest and boldest affirmation of the full divinity of Christ found anywhere in the Bible. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus, dear friends, is not simply a wise teacher. He's not simply a man who was unusually filled with God. He's not merely a prophet of God. Jesus is God with us. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And notice how personal that is. Thomas didn't just say, "You're the Lord. Jesus, you are God." He said, "My Lord and my God." That's the confession Christ is looking for. That's the confession he seeks. Can you make that confession today? Can you say to Jesus, my Lord, you are my God, Jesus? Well, finally, in this text, Jesus gave a wonderful blessing. And it's a great thing to receive a blessing from Jesus, isn't it? And this is a blessing for you and me. This is a blessing that didn't go to Thomas. It didn't go to any of the others who were there in that upper room, or the women who were first at the tomb. This is a blessing that's for you and me. Jesus said to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's you and me. There may be 1,000 shoulds in your past. Jesus just steps right through all of those. They won't keep him from you. They didn't keep him from Thomas, and they won't keep him from you. He steps right through those, and he shows himself to you, and he says, "Do not disbelieve, but believe." And when we believe, brothers and sisters, there's a special blessing for those of us who have not seen and yet believe. Believe that he is risen. Come to him in faith. He'll forgive all of your sins. He'll forgive all of your shoulds. And he'll give you a new life. He'll put his life in you to live for him. He'll fill you with his love. He'll fill you with hope. Brothers and sisters, today, do not disbelieve, but believe in Jesus Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, risen from the dead, showing himself to his disciples and even to Thomas, who, though he should have been there and should have trusted his friends, Lord Jesus, you came to him anyway. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the blessing that comes to me, to all of us listening today. We haven't seen like Thomas did, and we don't ask to, Lord, but give us faith. By your Holy Spirit, touch our hearts and deepen our faith, deepen our trust, that we may not disbelieve, but believe. And believing, follow you. And we pray it in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.